Pulitzer Prize winner Junot Diaz's first book, Drown, established him as a major new writer. His first novel, The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wao, won the Pulitzer Prize, was named number one fiction book of the year by Time magazine, and spent more than 100 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, establishing itself as a modern classic. Now Diaz turns his talent to the haunting, impossible power of love. Obsessive love, illicit love, fading love, maternal love. This Is How You Lose Her features nine stories. At the center of each is Junior, making his third appearance in Diaz's work, a Dominican-American who, despite his macho exterior, aches to be loved. Diaz will be in our region next week. I spoke with him about how this collection has long been in the works.
It seems that I require an enormous amount of steeping in these characters for them to say anything to me. It's almost as if some writers just have to make the characters their friends. I seem to have to make them my family, and that takes a long time.
When you originally started out writing short stories, was that the case, that even to do a story, you had to immerse yourself wholly into that family?
It's funny. I think I started out writing very slowly, and then I became much slower once I published my first book. But certainly there's always been a tendency in my own art to have to hover, to have to haunt my characters a long time before I feel any real connection.
What is it about this particular character, Junior, that is someone that stayed with you for so long?
He always has felt very representative of a certain kind of an experience that isn't always sort of visible or most people are not aware of. Junior was an immigrant from the Dominican Republic, young, came over to the States, pretty much becomes a real hardcore Jersey kid. And he's the kind of immigrant kid who, quote unquote, makes good. He ends up going to college. He ends up doing something white collar for himself. Yeah. Becomes a writer, becomes a college professor. But what I think is most fascinating about him is how many different worlds he's lived in. He's lived in so many different worlds by the time he becomes an adult. Second of all, he's this weird, strange mixture of super smart, super sensitive, and bafflingly deceptive.
Much was made when you hit the literary scene of how autobiographical that character is. And obviously, there are connections of the character you just described in your own story. Have you tried to back off from that?
Well, no. I mean, I think in the end, there's always a sense, if any writing feels palpable, if any writing feels sort of, it has that kind of granular sense of the real, there's always this longing among readers to connect it back to the writer. So my sense of this has always been to actually play even closer to the line than before. This book, for example, about Junior's sort of rise and fall as a cheater has a lot of sort of parallels to my own life. But in the end, I'm always left with the feeling and the awareness of how fictional it is. But I don't actually mind if people confuse the character in the book for me, as long as sort of the book invites them to certain kinds of reflection and opens up certain kinds of conversation.
You started writing these stories and about this character how many years ago?
Wow, that's a really great question. That's 18 years ago I started on this little journey.
So you were in your 20s.
And I had tons of hair. You know, I was super young. I could like drink all night and then go for a run at 6 a.m. Man.
So is writing about that character now that you have matured, as we all do, is there a maturity in the character? Is it any different in writing about that character?
Without any question. I think that the Junior that we encounter in this book, as opposed to the Junior we encounter in my first book, Drown, is a Junior far more aware of consequences, far more aware of how irrevocable some of our choices are, how we can make decisions and we can make choices, and it closes parts of our lives that we can never get back again. I think that that's something that in some ways is a wisdom that comes with age. I think consequences wasn't something that I nor my protagonist was aware of when we first embarked on this journey. Now, of course, it feels very acute and very present.
And is there anything to be said that just because of that time that you know this character better?
You know how it is. It's the same sort of in real life. Even though you're the same person, you find yourself facing all sorts of new challenges. Like, I kind of barely got a handle on what it meant to be young, and I was already in my 20s. You barely get a handle to that, you're in your 30s. And so I do think you know the character, but if you're like me and always trying to push them into new places, what they have to deal with, this entire new world, requires you, the writer, to rethink, to sort of reflect. And in fact, the knowing them only goes so far.
What is so incredible in this book is the balance of this character, of the vulnerability, how maddening this person can be, and yet ultimately endearing, accessible, and somebody that we like.
I mean, you want to try to go as a writer. You want to try to show as many sides of a character as possible. I don't think it's enough for a character to be quote-unquote likable. I don't know about you. I don't know about anyone else who's listening to this. But if you cracked me open and you were able to have access to all of my thoughts, all of my decisions, everything that I have done in my entire life, I'm not sure on balance that I would immediately come out as an incredibly likable person. I think few of us would be. But if you reflect on a person long enough and you realize that we're all imperfect, I mean, we all have flaws. We all make bad decisions. We've all been cowards at times, but we've also done things that are good. We're also compassionate. We've made important relationships. All of us, to be human means to be in many ways a profoundly mixed bag. And I guess I was trying to get at you and your, is that to make him a human being, I needed to be assured or to certainly give him these aspects that were both positive, negative, banal, interesting. And, you know, if anyone likes it, it's probably they're going to like this book because this character strikes them as someone real.
When you look at it as 200 plus pages about this character and the fact that he is a cheater, we have 9 stories about these relationships that often do not put him in a very good light.
No.
So is it a balance to make him then someone that we will relate to and someone that we have compassion toward?
It's tough, man. Have you ever thought about, just from a reader's point of view, how little access we sort of have to the kind of male subjectivities that we spend all our days surrounded by? I mean, growing up, when I was reading, I would read plenty of books where the main characters, the main protagonists were boys. But rarely did those boys correlate even remotely to the kinds of ways me and my male friends were thinking and talking. And I guess that there was a part of me that knew that it was going to be very dicey to sort of deal with this kind of boy, Junior, that he was going to, for many people, be very repellent. His preoccupation with relationships, his preoccupation with love, his inability to keep a relationship, that this was going to kind of wild some people out. But I do think that there's plenty of guys like this, and they are deserving of, I think, our interaction and I think of our imaginations.
You write in the book early on, all of Magna's friends say I cheated because I was Dominican, that all us Dominican men are dogs and can't be trusted. I doubt that I speak for all Dominican men, but I doubt they can either. From my perspective, it wasn't genetics. There were reasons, casualties. You are, in a sense, telling us not just about men, but also about Dominican men.
Well, the reverse, not just about Dominican men, but about boys. I think what's so interesting about this case is that, you know, it's a local argument for a larger problem. Yeah, like I don't think that there's any group in this world that you could grab the women of that group and say, hey, how do you view the men of your group? Do you give them an A? Do you give them a B? I mean, if you got American women to vote on American men as a group, we wouldn't get above an F minus. And so I guess my argument would be that boys tend to misbehave as much as anyone will allow them. And that misbehavior sort of rebounds on them. You can't be a jerk for so long without that jerkness eating up your insides. So I guess I was doing the reverse. I was using Dominican men to talk about the rest of us.
Juno Diaz's latest is This Is How You Lose Her. It is published by Riverhead. Juno Diaz will have an Odyssey Bookstore event on September 30th in South Hadley, Massachusetts, and at the New York State Writers Institute in Albany on October 4th. You can find out more information by going to junodiaz.com.